Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Then I came around. And everyone I've loved before.
Good afternoon, St. Louis, DGS 104.1 FM, KMOX. Happy Thursday to everybody. I was just... crashing out because of the weather. Like, it's been so bad. And then the weekend's like, get a little hotter. Next week, gonna get a little hotter.
Watching you react to Dave Murray's weather there is like watching Cardinals fans reacting to the series in Colorado. You're like, oh, come on!
Jeez.
I really love the phrase crashing out because it just, you don't have to explain it. It's like, even if you've never heard it before, it's like, what did you do? I crashed out. Yeah. I don't have to explain any further than that. I crashed out.
We needed that. We needed that phrase.
Yes. So it kind of encapsulates 2025.
Yeah.
What did we used to call that?
Having a meltdown.
Freaking out. Crashing out's better.
Crashing out. Because to me, crashing out, it can be... for real without being serious.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
No, that's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Andrew, did I crash out in the office earlier or was that not qualified?
That was, well, okay. So for anybody else, it was the biggest crash out of their lives. And for you, it seemed like really not that big a deal.
Let's just call, I had a little storm burst. All right. So I'm not going to get into too much of the story, but I was trying to get the price on a U-Haul van for a day, right?
Sounds sketchy.
Every time I clicked on the thing to move to the next page, it's like, do you want 74 boxes? I just want to know what it cost. And it took like 8 pages. So I, every time it gave me some other thing I didn't want, I got madder.
Got a little more.
Yeah.
He was, well, I to say you got a little more is ignore the fact that you were screaming and cussing.
I didn't throw anything.
You did not throw anything.
I did not hit anything. I wanted to really badly. Like, come on, man. Just God.
Are you aware of who's around you when you crash out?
For the most part, yeah. I mean, I knew it was Andrew and Amy, so they get it. They know.
Yeah. They're cool.
Yeah. I'm not, I don't think they like it, but they get it.
Yeah.
Right, Andrew? You get it.
Well, I mean, I see it. I don't know if I get it.
No,
I see it.
You understand.
You're like that, perfectly understandable.
Yeah, I bear witness to it.
You understand that when it's happening, it's probably going to be over soon, and it's not as serious as I make it seem.
Yes, I understand. Well, I could tell by the words that you were saying that it was not that big a deal. Because you were screaming at the top of your lungs and cussing, but then the words that would follow it is, I just need a quote.
I just need the
for
price.
The van. And then I'd go, oh, okay. He's just
could you
on
make
a website.
It,
that's
he just needs a quote for the van. I mean,
it's probably give me the. It's probably on the page, and he just isn't reading all the way down.
No, because they had to ask me, do you want packing pads? Do you want boxes? Do you need a dolly? I'm like, oh, I'll tell you what I need. Just give me the price of the van.
So, like, had he been more like, oh, just give me a quote, that would have been more appropriate.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Everybody else would go, oh my gosh, they keep asking me what I want to, if I want a dolly, if I want boxes. And it's like, I didn't say I want any of that stuff. I just said, what's the price for a van?
Yeah, it just
so
feels
frustrating.
Better. Feels better when you get mad at it.
Today's weird.
We're going to get noise complaints by the residents.
This week has been weird. This summer has been weird.
Yes, it has.
The last decade has been weird. Wheels, you had something on your sheet that may be what I'm talking about.
Okay.
I wrote down yesterday, where did all the fun go?
Yeah.
Just in life. We're also, and then I'm not going to make you do it again, Rach, but you had a little crash out in our office.
Oh, I didn't crash
but
out.
But it was so good. I wish you could redo it here. It was just about politics and life and how we're so many stupid demands being made on us and everyone else.
There's just too much going on.
There's too much going on. You wake up every morning. I want to wake up, go to Drudge, and see the same stories from yesterday.
Yes.
Just once.
That's a great request. It's just a non-stop.
Because yesterday was stupid. Last week was stupid. We had plenty of stupid to butter the bread. Like it's like Lucy and Ethel with the chocolates. Stupid just keeps coming.
It never stops.
Never stops.
Drama never stops.
And I'm worried that when Trump is gone, it's going to keep going like this. Because when you get used to something and you think this is the way life is supposed to be, whether it's you're in a relationship that's bad, but you've been in it so long that you just don't know what it's like out there and not in a bad relationship, that's how this feels. Like, we're just going to replace him with someone else like him.
Instead of a protest in the streets, because obviously logistically that can be more difficult, right? Convincing people to leave their homes and go to D.C. or whatever. What if we all just said we're not watching TV news and we're not clicking on the news sites for a week? We're just not turning it on. We're not looking at it. We're not checking it. Would that send a message, or would we just be, we can't do it. We just can't do it. We'd be itching to go on because you'll see it on Twitter and, oh, I got to see it.
What if we all didn't show up for work for a week?
I think we'd all get fired.
What? They can't fire all of us, man.
To me, it's less of a frustration with like the news itself, because I want to know what's going down. Like, they have to tell us what's going on. I don't want to live in darkness and have no clue what's happening. It's just, there's always something pointless happening on top of the very real things happening, too. So it's like Epstein. That's a huge thing to be focused on, right?
Sure.
There's also, you know, tariffs. That mess is still going on.
Children starving in Gaza.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Like, there are a million people dying in Ukraine.
Real things happening. And then it's like, you have to change your name back to the Redskins. You need to add cane sugar to your soda. You need to do this. You need to do this. This college needs to give you money. It's like, dude, stop. I mean, it's too much.
Too much.
It's kind of, I said something similar to this the other day, I think, but it's like, the culture war stuff, I really just wish we could try and move past that a little bit. And Redskins, you have to change your name back to the racist thing. That's extremely a culture war thing. I would argue even Coca-Cola and the cane sugar is a culture war thing. It's all culture war stuff. It's not actual. I mean, we're involved in some actual wars we're not paying as much attention to illustrate your point, Dave, as, you know, the culture war stuff.
Yeah. But all the things you just listed, that's all flack. That's all flack. That's all. You remember in Top Gun Maverick?
I don't know what that means.
And they're being shot at, and they got those little flares that go out to try to draw the missiles away. That's what's happening. That's what's happening. We've got a fighter jet that's going, and the fighter jet's being pursued, and there's rockets being fired at it. It's just like shooting stuff out left and right, like, hey, rocket, hit this. Hey, rocket, hit this instead of hitting the fighter jet. Like, that's what it feels like to me.
Yeah.
Because all of that stuff happening at the same time is not a coincidence.
I'm just glad it's not just me, because I would really be feeling crazy if I brought things like this up and everyone was like, what are you talking about? Things are exactly like they've always been. Nothing's weird. I'm not overwhelmed.
Well, that's just not true. It just can't be true.
No, and I'm glad, too, that I'm 60, Rach is 33, Kevin's in his early 50s. Like, we're all sensing it. It's not just, like, the boomers are scared or Gen Alpha doesn't want to be here anymore. Like, everyone's just like, what the F?
Could you guys imagine being 16 right now and, like,
is this your normal?
Is this what the world's like?
Right.
Because we're all like, this isn't what it used to be. This isn't. This is not what was normal for most of our lifetime.
My favorite Twilight Zone episode is called "A Stop at Willoughby," and it's about a New York Madison Avenue executive who's under all this pressure. And when he takes the train home to Connecticut every night, there's a stop at Willoughby in like 1850. And it's July 4th, and everyone's just having fun and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And that's how I feel when I talk to people about what the 70s and 80s were like. That's how I feel. And I know how easy it is to say to a 60-year-old, yeah, dude, that's how every 60-year-old feels because you were 16 or you were 20 or whatever it was. But I swear to God, it was different. Life itself, the fabric of space-time, felt different.
Yeah.
I mean, people didn't live and die waking up every day trying to fight something.
At all. At all.
Every day right now, something, there's people fighting something. We got to fight.
And politics.
Fight online, fight in politics,
politics
whatever.
Politics was about two people running for office who were virtually the same.
Right, right.
One was a little softer than the other. The other one was a little harder than the other. But they were basically the same. And they had, you know, for the most part, good intentions.
And they would, you know, you the old stories about, yeah, they'd all get together for lunch and figure out their differences and all that nonsense. I mean, right now, I would assume a lot of them would just fist fight. Not all. Clearly, there are some of the deal makers and the, you know, level-headed folks that are up there in D.C., but it's just like every day it seems like it's a fight, just nonstop. We got to fight. I like to fight too, and it's even wearing on me.
Seriously, you're wearing this guy out?
Because, well, first of all, the problem is I don't really get to fight. I get to talk about the fight. That's not the same thing. I wish I was in the fight, but then I'd probably be in jail.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay putting you in the fight.
I'm sure I'd lose it at some point and like, you have to go away for a while. We'll see you in 2 years.
I don't know. What are we going to do besides just bitch in once a month?
I mean, until there's a collective agreement amongst everyone that's a normie, and it doesn't matter whether you're, you know, liberal or conservative or whatever, until there's a collective agreement amongst all of us normies that are like, you know what, we're just done. We're not participating in the rage bait on social media. We're not watching the 24-hour news networks. We're not going to click on all of the things that need the clicks. Because all of this stuff is the way that it is because we watch it and we click on it.
Yeah.
If we didn't click, it would stop happening, and they would find a way to feed us the things we'd click on.
A lot of people checking in on the stream. You can watch us on YouTube or Facebook. Robert says, Dave, you've always been open about your mental health journey. I'm starting a new phase in my journey today, and he's trying a new drug. Robert, all the best. Truly. Let me know how it goes. Our buddy Janelle says, but we don't want to get away from all of this nonsense. We inject it into everything, movies, sports, etc., so we won't get away from it.
Mm.
And then Morgan says, what if Kevin's swoleness is actually just his pent-up will to fight?
I mean, it's probably part of it. Just it builds up.
This is why this show is important. Not to get all on a high horse, but there's sanity here. I truly believe that. Amongst all of us weirdos, there's a base sanity, I think.
Hmm?
And the people we present to you are sane. I will not have a bomb thrower on just to get better ratings. Won't do it.
Or to go viral.
Yeah, I couldn't care less about going viral. I'm fine. DJs on Camel X.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Continuing just briefly with what we were just talking about, how things feel like they're just crazy. Specifically, regarding Donald Trump's recent allegations against Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama. They should be in jail. Our sitting president accused his predecessor of treason. Here's my take without even getting too deeply into it. I only see two possibilities. Please tell me if you think I'm wrong. If Donald Trump is even colorably correct, we're done. This version of the United States is done, and we need to blow it up and start all over again, because if you have the former Secretary of State, a sitting president, Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, committing treason, trying to throw the election, we're broken. We are broken. So either that's true or Trump's completely full of crap. And what he's doing is awful. Do you see other versions? Do you see any middle ground? It just seems to me like an allegation like that brings us to the precipice of, oh, I guess I'm the first guy saying it, but we're kind of done here. What kind of country do you have if Barack Obama's committing treason? Not much.
I get what you're saying. It shows a real lack of faith in the other side of the aisle, where it's like, well, if you must just want the downfall of the country. But I don't know, with this presidential immunity thing, like, is this just a huge waste of time? Is that, right? I mean, just throw this on the pile of
things that presidents
ridiculous
do.
Things we have to worry about now. That's impossible to keep straight. It's like, oh, okay, so now Obama is treason. Okay, all right, well, let me know about the developments in that, I guess. But, like, I'm just worn down.
So
I don't have a lot of bandwidth for this one, you guys.
The timeline to me is what's interesting. So you were in office for 4 years. Immediately after that, you made nonstop allegations in 2020 about a stolen election. Not once have you offered any evidence. Not once. Not in a court of law. They never once went to court claiming fraud. It was always procedural stuff. It was always some other nonsense. They never went in front of a judge and claimed fraud. They never presented any evidence in a court of law or in public to back that claim up. Why should I believe you when it comes up at the most convenient time for you? This wasn't out there a month ago before all the Epstein stuff blew up. This wasn't out there 2 years ago. This wasn't out there 4 years ago. You had all, you were in charge from 2016 to 2020. And your people never caught wind of any of this, never investigated any of this, never found out any of this. And now all of a sudden,
Tulsi Gabbard out of nowhere.
And all of a sudden now, in the most convenient possible time for you, here it is. I mean, if you show me the evidence, I'll buy anything.
Yes. Yes. If what you're saying is true, then screw Barack Obama.
Yeah.
He should be in jail.
Yeah, no one on the show is saying, like, that's impossible. No. He would never. No. But it's like, well, show us the evidence of that
Joe
happening.
Joe Biden crapped the bed all the time.
Yes, but it's been a lot of
Afghanistan, the debate. Yeah. He crapped the bed constantly.
But it's been about 8 years of all bark, no bite. 8 years of all talk, no show. How many times can you claim those things? And by the way, what's interesting is, and I find this to be really fascinating, that I get it because everybody's so team-oriented, right? But the way that this is being treated now is the way a lot of it's like almost the opposite of the whole Russia thing, right? Where Donald Trump is saying it's not there, it's not there. Other people were saying it's there. Now, this is the same kind of thing, this nonsense where nobody actually has any real evidence that says this thing happened. No, or they're not presenting it. One way or the other, it's not being presented.
Yeah.
We don't get to just, we're in a phase which goes into the craziness thing that we were talking about last segment. We're in a phase where we're just going to say stuff.
Yeah.
We're going to say, we don't have to back anything up. We don't have to provide evidence. We're just going to say stuff. And then we'll forget that we ever said it. We'll pretend that we never said it. I mean, Tulsi Gabbard in 2016 was doing interviews talking about how it was very clear that Russia was trying to interfere with U.S. elections.
And if there's any evidence whatsoever that Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton committed treason, that's all we should be doing. is going and getting those guys. That's all we should be doing with our time.
Bring it to the courts in public. Show everybody the evidence. That's the most ever thing,
whether it's funny or not. Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to talk to our friend Nate Gatter here in a second. First, I have two shout-outs. First, to Andrew for helping me with all my mom stuff. Thank you.
Oh, that's very sweet.
Happy to do so.
Secondly, Rach was throwing up all day yesterday, and I think she threw up and pooped out her give a crap.
Yes!
Because she edgy Rach on the brakes.
I love it,
she's
man.
She's like, and another thing!
Stuff I can't say on the air.
It feels like it's rubbing off a little bit. She's got a little wheeler going today.
She's got it going.
Because, you know, the no, don't stop during the brakes thing.
Yeah.
That's typically my domain.
At the end of the break, I was like, I'm sorry, I got one more thing to say.
I feel like we are the only people like in each other's lives who really understand that part of us.
Yeah.
So it does feel like when you're like out for a few days and then you come back, it does feel a little bit like I wasn't able to do this for anybody else.
Yeah. Yeah. Nate Gatter joins us. Hey, Nate.
Hey, Dave. How you doing?
Good, buddy. So I want to talk to you, of course, about the Cardinals. Lots of moves in the last few days. But first, my boss, Steve Moore, said you had a really interesting take on the Savannah Bananas phenomenon.
Yeah, so I went to the game on Saturday night, and it was the kind of thing I would never have gone to otherwise, but my mother-in-law got tickets for me and my brother-in-law, and, you know, it was very nice of her to do that, and so I didn't want to say, like, no, that's not really probably going to be my thing. She's just thinking it's baseball. Everybody seems to like this baseball thing. You like baseball. This will be great, and that was very nice of her.
Yeah.
But I just came away from it feeling like I had been completely bombarded by mediocrity. Like, every part of the experience was just mediocre, but they shoved it in my face. Like, I'm meant to be entertained not by the quality of literally anything, but just the sheer quantity of stimulants that they're able to hurl at me continuously. Like, yeah, the baseball is mediocre, but it moves really fast. Sure, the music is mediocre, but they change it every 10 to 15 seconds. Dancing is mediocre, but many people are performing simultaneously in various different colorful outfits, so there's always something to look at. You know, perhaps I just have like simply a fundamental disagreement with the people in the target audience. But to me, combining two mediocre things doesn't do much to improve either element. You know, like the idea of an umpire twerking is, I suppose, funny once or twice just for the comedic contrast. But ultimately, you just have a middle-aged bearded guy shaking his butt. And I think whether you're into umpiring or twerking, you'd probably be better served to go see a specialist rather than try to get a two-for-one deal.
I think Nate just gave the best description of my show in 25 years. Bombardment of mediocrity. Love that. That's great. No, I love your point, though, that nothing was great. It was just a whole bunch of something.
Yeah.
And it kind of feels like where entertainment and media are going now, right? I don't want to make this about, like, you know, I'm 29 years old. I feel like that's a little early to be like the old man yelling at the cloud about, like, what are the kids doing to us? But I worry about what we're doing to the kids a little bit. Like, and I get some people are going to roll their eyes at this and say, like, it's just silly baseball. It's just entertainment. But to me, there are real consequences to this, or at least it's not necessarily a cause of anything, but it's a symptom of other things, and it tells us something about where we're going in society. So this is something that I've been interested in for a while. The American Academy of Pediatrics did a study now like 15 years ago that found even 9 minutes of exposure to really fast-paced TV cartoons with young kids, with four-year-olds, lowered their executive functioning immediately and by an appreciable amount, like when they tried to do executive functioning tests right after. And that was 2011. Like, TV and entertainment and YouTube shows and all this for kids are just getting faster and faster and faster. Everybody's getting TikTok brain, right? Like, this is, people talk about it with the Coco Melon, which is like a really popular, one of the most popular YouTube channels in the world, and it's geared toward young kids. And one of the ways that they get kids hooked on watching it is that the scene or the camera cuts and changes like every 1 to 3 seconds. And kids are just constantly stimulated by all these moving parts, all these shifting angles, all these different colors. And that kind of thing has an almost immediate effect on people's ability to do like anything else, even as compared to if kids were watching like more educational themed TV shows in the kind of thing that you would have seen like in the 90s and 2000s, let alone before that. And this felt to me like the first time I've ever been to an event in the real world that was designed to make me feel like I was living inside a TikTok. And I was like, oh my God, this might be like where we're going, because the kids seemed like they were loving it, even though, again, I didn't see anything that on its own probably would have been entertaining to them at all. But you combine three or four things at once and their brains get the level of stimulation they feel like they need.
It's a great analysis. Wheels, what do you think?
Almost all of it I agree with. I think that, you know, all of us were exposed as children to a lot of different things, too, as far as shows and cartoons and things that were not what we were, the kind of the test dummies in Gen X for basically being raised on a television, right? I mean, that's kind of, we were that group. But as far as the bananas, it's why it's not for me. It's why I don't enjoy it, because it's guys that, look, I appreciate the talent of those players because it does take some ability to do what they do, but there's every one of them would trade it to be in affiliated baseball, right? There's a reason that they're not playing in A ball for an organization that's affiliated with the major leagues, because they're not at that level. And to their credit, they've turned what ability they have and all of those years of work into a good paycheck. Like, they get paid pretty well. They get to travel the country. They get to be known. They get to be famous. So I appreciate everything about that. But all of what Nate described is why it's not for me. It's why I just have no interest in it whatsoever. It's fine to me if other people enjoy it. I think it's very similar to the Harlem Globetrotters. I don't think it's much different than that, because it was kind of the same thing. It wasn't really serious basketball. A lot of clowning, a lot of pranks, a lot of silliness, pulling shorts down to people and all of that. And I don't think it's that much. It is the 2025 version of that, though. So to Nate's point, it's the TikTok version of the Harlem Globetrotters.
Nate, let me ask you a question about Cardinals baseball now. And I want to ask all my guys, and you're the first one I've really said this to, but with DFAing Fetty and everything that's gone on with Miles Michaelis, and the list just keeps going on and on, Walker, Gorman, I know that we don't have a reputation for fixing people very well, but Nate, do you feel like in some ways we ruin people here in the Cardinals nation?
That's awfully fatalistic, I guess. But certainly Eric Fetty got worse while he was a Cardinal, although he got worse all of a sudden and pretty recently. I mean, that's, I think now we're going to evaluate, as we always do, the trade in hindsight. I don't really feel like that was a bad deal. In fact, I think it was totally defensible and made a lot of sense at the time to trade Tommy Edman for Eric Fetty last year at the deadline, in part because Tommy Edman is not the player that Cardinals fans now make him out to be. He's a perfectly good player, but he's a perfectly good player in the way that the Cardinals already have a bunch of perfectly good players. He is versatile. He hits a little bit, plays a lot of different defensive positions. You know, what is Tommy Edman doing for you on this roster that in the aggregate, Brendan Donovan and Victor Scott are pretty much covering? And what they really needed was, and that what they still need, is starting pitching. And they got Eric Fetty, who seemed like he was going to be a pretty good kind of three or four type starter for them, and was that for a lot of his time in St. Louis. I mean, what his ERA was in the mid-3s a month and a half ago. You know, this kind of blew up on him all of a sudden. I'm not saying he was ever a great, great pitcher, but Tommy Edman has an OPS of like 670-something this year, and he has a lot of defensive versatility, but shortstop is really the only position where Scott and Donovan, who are essentially his replacements at second base and center field, his two primary positions, where the shortstop is the only position those guys aren't able to cover because they could also play corner outfield, whatever. So anyway, that's getting a little away from your point. I think sometimes it's just time. Whatever went wrong for Freddie, I mean, Miles Michaelis, it's probably aging as much as anything, too, because he had plenty of years of success and doing a job here in St. Louis. I think the Cardinals, in the end, get what they pay for and have gotten what they've paid for with Michaelis over the course of his time here. Walker and Gorman is a different question. I mean, that's about development. And certainly, I think Jordan Walker, at times, there's been a lot of meat on that bone as far as did the Cardinals hurt him more than they helped him with the various tinkering they were trying to do on his swing. We'll see if Chaim Bloom and the overhaul of the minor league system philosophically and personnel-wise is going to be enough to get the Cardinals moving back in the right direction. But certainly it seems there was a period of time where, whether it was because of moving guys' positions too late, like with Gorman and Walker, not allowing them to develop in a certain spot, and with maybe conflicting different kind of hitting approaches they were getting at different times in different levels in different places, that we were confusing those young guys to the point that we were minimizing their natural abilities and skill sets and maybe maximizing their error rates and having to do work to then kind of undo or tear down this kind of faulty construction.
Okay, that's great analysis, Nate. We appreciate it. Thank you, pal.
Thanks a lot, man.
We're back, guys. DGS on KMOX. We all had different days yesterday, didn't we? You were sick.
Yeah.
We were off. I spend most of my day in the zone doing show prep.
Nice.
And one thing I wrote down was no face, big goggle. Any idea what that means? I know what it means.
Well, big goggle is interesting because it implies just one.
Yes.
So maybe one of those big giant things like they wear when they go snowboarding.
Sort
of. So you wear a snowboarder wearing the balaclava that covers the entire face with the giant singular goggle. Am I right?
You're not too far off. I was just thinking about how we don't see our own face. Like, I can't see any part of my face. I have to trust that a mirror or a video camera tells me the truth. And I see out of two eyes, but the way I'm looking, it just looks like one big goggle.
Yeah.
You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
And it just freaked me out a little bit. It was just one of those things, like I was walking through my kitchen, and I'm like, where's my face? Where's my face? And then I'm like, oh, you never see your face. You only see the world through this big old head goggle.
I can see my face.
Yeah, I can see my nose.
See my nose.
Really?
Mean, I can't see the whole thing, but I can see the tip of it.
Yeah, I see it. Boop, boop, boop.
I see a shadow of it.
I got nothing.
Boop, boop, boop.
Yeah.
I guess my features are too fine. I've heard that my whole life.
Yeah. I got this big old honker.
Beep, boop. Hulk Hogan passes away. They come in threes, so who do we got?
Well, the other one wasn't, I wasn't familiar, but then another musician passed away.
Oh, Chuck Mangione.
Yeah.
Well, then this is four then, because we have Theo.
Theo.
Oh, that's right.
Wow.
Jamal Warner. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Does that mean it's another three started?
Yeah, maybe another three two started to come.
And, of course, Ozzy Osbourne.
I mean, like, Hulk was such a big deal in the 80s.
Yeah.
Like, such a big deal. Do you remember the way he was something before that, but he was not a star until the Rocky movie.
Yes.
When he was Thunderlips.
Yes.
One of the great scenes in any movie in that era.
Yeah.
Just unbelievably
funny.
He
had a thing, no doubt about it.
Dude, I mean, he was, look, when you put him on a screen, a movie screen or a TV screen, you knew he was there.
What do you think of this? Everyone who listens consistently knows about my issues with Alzheimer's and family and genetic marker and such. And I read everything that comes out about Alzheimer's. And one of the things was that they can test you and establish 20 years before your first symptom shows up that you have Alzheimer's. And I don't want to take that one, but I probably should, blah, blah, blah. Now they have a brain scan that can tell you when you're going to die.
Oh.
Now, it doesn't say July 15th, 2038, but it just says, like, yes, you have this and this and this that shows up in your brain scan, and so you're probably going to live to about 78. Do you want that?
Kinda?
Yeah, I would like that. Hmm. I mean, it still doesn't tell if you're going to get hit by a bus.
True. Right, right, exactly.
But they're kind of setting an outer parameter.
Yeah, it doesn't mean it's going to be exact, though.
Yeah.
But it's also like, all right, I mean, if there's something there, like, yeah, you got 10 years, I'd like to know.
You know that that's going to become a part of the insurance stuff.
Oh, God.
Yeah, most likely.
Dang
Jake
it.
Says we must protect Dave. Yeah, that I don't know how I feel about that.
I get it. Because you don't want it to be like, you got 4 years. Like, but if you did, put it this way, if it was that, would you want to know to get as much in as you could?
Me personally, I don't think it's good for me.
I get you, because it would just ruin.
Such a roll the rock over in my hand over and over again and look at it and look at it again. I'm afraid for some people
that
may be very motivating. For me, I think it would shut me down.
Yeah. I definitely feel like I would want to know because I would want to get everything in before, but can't be an easy piece of knowledge.
Yeah.
Right?
I also thought to myself, these are just all Dave's weird in the zone thoughts from yesterday. I saw a study that showed that when you feed pigeons, and we all know from college that intermittent reward is the best way to addict someone. If I'm trying to addict one of you, I'm going to give you a cookie, and then I'm not going to give you a cookie. And that's more addicting than if I just gave you all the cookies that you wanted.
Oh.
It works in relationships. It works in pretty much an established thing. And they have figured out that pigeons will do all of these superstitious things, like bobbing their head a certain way, because one time they bobbed their head to the left and they got a piece of food.
All right.
So now
they
do
learned,
it.
Yeah.
And it made me think, are we just glorified pigeons?
I think so.
Are we just bobbing our heads to religion and marriage or whatever it is, our kids, that we think, oh, this is what it is?
I mean, people do this every day, humans. Ooh, if I sit on this side of the couch, my team wins more.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? How different is that? I sat here once and we won, so I got to do that every time.
Yeah. I'm going through that now. I'm being called Schleprock by my baseball team because we've had 4 rainouts.
Yeah.
And at first they're like, oh, it's Glover. And then last week they're like, it's freaking Glover.
Yeah. The bringer of rain. Yeah, so they're all going to see, they're all doing the pigeon thing.
They are.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm the ass out pigeon. I'm the one they're like, it's this guy. We had so much more food before he came.
I actually take that more as an impressive thing for other animal species when we see them doing things that we associate with things we do.
Yeah.
Like superstitions
they're
or whatever
to
like
us
that.
Than we think.
Yeah.
Interesting. Rach, how was your day yesterday? We haven't talked much about it.
Well, Tuesday was the day I was really, really sick. Yesterday, I was just very fatigued and sick, and I just basically slept on and off all day and had crazy dreams. It was very unpleasant. I'm very happy to be better and back at work.
Good.
And, you know, that's the sickest I've been in a very long... I couldn't tell you the last time I was feeling that poorly. I mean, it was awful. But it makes you grateful for your health, you know? All I could think of yesterday was just like, I need to not take for granted how good I feel most of the time.
Yeah.
And it really makes you feel for people who are like chronically ill, dealing with chronic pain, stuff like that.
Going through chemotherapy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's a good lesson to take. But we're glad you're back.
Thanks.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.